May Allah bless and keep you safe. Keep you safe. May Allah bless and keep you safe.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in this program called Secrets of Health. Yes, in this program we talk about secrets of health, in specific to Ramadan al-Kareem, fasting. Fasting is one of the beautiful secret of health. And in our series of programs, we have been discussing that what are the benefits of fasting on our health and well-being. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today, inshallah, the topic is fasting and fats. It's very important topic. Many of the viewers of Madani Channel, they want to know about, they want to have awareness about fats, what are they and how they impact on our body and functioning and well-being of our body, and how can we avoid more of the fats, because excess of everything is bad. So we'll be talking about do's and don'ts, we'll be giving you some dietary information and the guidelines. Our doctor, mashallah, a consultant is with us, and we'll be taking questions on this very topic. But before we proceed ahead to this topic, let's make good intentions. Because my Sheikh Tariqat, founder of Dawat-e-Islami, founder of this Madani Channel, what you're watching right now, alhamdulillah, he's given us a beautiful mindset that we should always make good intentions before performing any permissible task or any good deed. Yes, the Islamic brothers, there is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. Intention of a believer is better than his actions. And earning this intention, inshallah, we will present this program for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And one of the reasons why we are doing this program is to bring awareness, to tell you about these diseases, and alhamdulillah, when you know about them and you try to prevent them and you find some of the advices how to cure them and what remedies are available and solutions are available, and you can keep your health healthy and you can keep your life in a very good format of well-being. So inshallah, this is one of the beautiful intention to help the ummah, alhamdulillah. And further, you can make this intention, inshallah, you'll watch this program, this show, from start till end, inshallah, you'll remember what you learn and act upon the advices given by our honorable doctor, consultant, Dr. Khurram. So without any further delay, let's go to our honorable guest. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So once again, thank you very much for giving us a precious time. Jazakallahu khairah. And alhamdulillah, as you know that today's topic is very interesting, and I find myself very interesting, because whenever this common term fats is heard, you see, common perspective is that somebody is going to become fat. You understand? So this is something is very important. And nowadays, in this day and age, people are very weight conscious and health conscious, and they want to maintain their figure, they want to maintain their body, and definitely in terms of other related illnesses, they want to avoid them due to fats. So that's why I think it's very interesting topic for the viewers of Madani Channel, at the same time for our health and well-being. And definitely it has got a very much correlation with Ramadan al-Kareem and fasting, which alhamdulillah we have been discussing in each of our topic, and we try to correlate that with that. So first of all, the word which is normally used as lipids and widely used as fats, is there any difference between them? And what is fat in medical term, and in normal understanding, how would you explain that?
Jazakallahu khairan. So fats, as you said, is a very important topic, and it's certainly a very hot topic currently. So the first thing to say about fats is that this is part of the essential nutrients for life. So I'm sure our Madani Channel viewers, especially those who have been science students, they would remember that there are six essential nutrients which should be part of a balanced diet. So carbohydrates, or carbs in short, protein, and fats. So those are the three the major sources of energy. So to give an idea that 1 gram of carbohydrate gives 4 calories compared to 1 gram of fat, which gives 9 calories. So over double the amount of energy one can extract from fats. And then there are three others which don't have any caloric value, however, are equally important for the homeostatic balance of the body. So those would include vitamins, minerals, and water. That's right. So those are the 6 essential nutrients. So we are talking about fats first. So fat is a much broader umbrella term, and it would mean different things in different contexts. So one are dietary fats, and there are some types which we will discuss. And then others are measurable fats. So that measurable fats, which we do a blood test for, is the lipid profile. So the process of forming fats in the body is called lipogenesis. So genesis means to form, to make, and lipo means fat. So however, the lipid profile which we measure, which we test, that is actually not all form of fats, but the fats which are potentially harmful to health if their levels go too high. So that's why we do that. So they are used interchangeably, but purely and technically speaking, fats is a much bigger concept which encompasses what we eat, the energy we derive from them, and then there is the fats which we measure in the blood, and that technically is lipid profile.
MashaAllah. Also, this next question, which is very important in this regard, that for a person, he wants to avoid the harmful effects of fats. So definitely, I think it will be a very good idea to give an awareness and information to the viewers of Madani Channel that what are those foods which contain high levels of fats, and how can we avoid fat? Definitely, there are some advantages, at the same time disadvantages, because if anything Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created, it has and it contains benefits. It can't just be harmful. So first of all, I would like to ask you, what are the good sides of fats and how important they are for our well-being in our life? But definitely, excess of everything is bad, so we need to avoid that level too. So how would you describe advantages and disadvantages of fats?
Excellent question, Jazakallah khairah. So the first thing to say about is that we do need to understand, because there is a lot of confusion. So it seems like if we go back 20 or 30 years, when all these what I call diet fads started, there was a lot of focus towards reducing carbs and also reducing all forms of fats. So people would have read stories like one shouldn't eat eggs, for example, or even full cream milk. So all those things, they were actively discouraged. And then the modern literature suggested that the pendulum had swung too far. And actually, as you said, fats are good for us as long as it's in moderation. So everything in moderation is good, as you discussed. So in order to understand this, rather conceptual struggle between the two camps of thoughts, the first thing to understand is that the fats, broadly speaking, are either saturated fats or unsaturated fats. And even amongst unsaturated fats, there is monounsaturated fats and there are polyunsaturated fats. So these are, again, students of chemistry would know. So this basically depends on the structure of how the fat molecule is organized. So it is predominantly the saturated fat which we as medical community are very concerned about. And I think that was the initial message. The public advertisement and the campaign was that we wanted to reduce the saturated fat intake. So what are the common examples for that? So anything which is deep fried, that would be one prime example. So that would include things like deep fried chicken, meat, pizzas, for example, then chips, which, you know, so the very common diets which are used. And then Eastern diet would include samosas.
Especially
in Ramadan, they become very relevant because somehow we think that we have to take this high caloric value food. And
because we've been fasting all day.
Exactly. And that itself is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we seem to eat a lot at the time of iftar because we haven't eaten all day. And then we eat a lot again at sahri because we are not going to eat all day.
Super.
And that it seems like we're just in this cycle of overindulgence. We just think, oh, we need to get as much food in as possible, when actually that was never the purpose of fast. So the main issues with saturated fats. Then the other place where saturated fats come from are things which in volume look small, but actually are very rich. So chocolates, for example, you know, and all these different, so they have lots of sugars, but also they have a lot of saturated fats. So anything similar to chocolates, so candies, for example, and, you know, all from milk chocolate, certainly, and white chocolates, they certainly have a lot more fats compared to dark chocolates. So that is the main issue with saturated fats. However, if we look at unsaturated fats, so the examples for that would be nuts. So nuts are very good sources of polyunsaturated fats. Fish, which is also a very good source of unsaturated fats. And eggs also predominantly have unsaturated fats. So these are good sources of fat. And these are the reason why they're better, because they're easily digestible. So they can be broken down because they're already unsaturated. So it's easier for them because the molecules are not complex. So our body is able to disintegrate them, to break them down into small digestible portions. So that's why if we want to, then small amount of nuts, for example, which in addition to giving benefits like the essential nutrients, minerals, they would have vitamins in them, as well as they would fulfill our needs for these unsaturated fats. And what we must avoid are these saturated fats, which, as we discussed in the last episode, very bad overall for vascular health. So the people who get problems with peripheral vascular disease, strokes, heart attacks, if you look at that, the main issue with diet, or one of the main issues, is the saturated fats.
MashaAllah. So what kind of foods now? Let's talk about those foods for a better understanding of the viewers of Madani Channel. That in our normal dietary plan, what should be eaten and what should be avoided in terms of meat, in terms of rice and the content of bread we eat, and what sort of flour should be better for our health? And how would you just explain to the viewers of Madani Channel for a healthy diet for them, which contains a moderate level of fats, and that will be very beneficial for their health and well-being?
So, generally speaking, if you look at a lot of research has happened in how we can aim for healthy life, certainly cardiovascular health, brain health, and time and again,
cardiovascular, you mean the heart.
The heart, that's right. So cardio means heart, and the vascular means blood vessels. So related to that, time and again, what's been shown is Mediterranean diet is the best way to keep that. So what are the ingredients of Mediterranean diet? So in other words, I would say that this is the diet suggested by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because what this diet has is a nice balance of vegetables, minerals, a small amount of meat, and in that, again, preferable is fish, certainly two or three times a week, because Mediterranean diet generally has a lot more fish content in it. And if we were to use oil, then it's olive oil, which again, we know was one of the ingredients and also the diet which the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam liked. And also this is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. So this is really what nowadays is called Mediterranean diet, but actually I feel that this is Islamic diet. You know, this is the diet of Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. And So what we see in this diet is that there isn't any processed food. So there isn't a lot of chicken nuggets, for example, or all these processed meat which is coming from different sources to us, converted into quarter pounders and half pounder burgers, which are all basically, one, it's red meat, and secondly, they're all deep fried, and they have a huge amount of saturated fats. That becomes even more important if someone already is suffering from one of these risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So high blood pressure patients, for example, one advice is that they should have low salt. Second would be, again, low fat diets, because these fats will ultimately convert into, or potentially convert into cholesterol, which makes the plaques in the blood vessels and lead to the heart diseases. If we're looking at people with diabetes, again, the issue with high-fat diet is that all of that fat, when broken down, a lot of that will be converted into sugars, which will make their control of blood sugar even more erratic. So it becomes more important for them. And people who have already are either obese or overweight. So for them, there is already issue with fats, which is being deposited in the wrong places. And then obviously more dietary fat would mean that the risk of that weight gain and associated issues with that would be even higher. So that would be, obviously the topic is broad, but generally speaking, those would be the areas to focus on.
MashaAllah, very well explained. Rasab, what constitutes lipid profile?
So as we were discussing in the beginning, that fats is a much bigger, sort of broader term. So lipid profile is what we would recommend should be checked in the right context. So it could be in the context of a well man or well woman test. So for example, the NHS recommendation here is a 40-year-old man should see the GP for a well man check, and then similar guidance for women as well. So one of the tests which would be done is lipid profile. So what lipid profile is measuring is that measurable amount of fat in our blood. And what we're using that is as a surrogate marker. This suggests what would be the total content of fat in the body. And because we know that that is directly proportional to the risk of heart disease or the cardiovascular disease. So it measures, mainly it measures cholesterol. It measures HDL, which is high density lipoprotein. Then it measures LDL, which is low-density lipoprotein. Then fourth thing it measures is triglycerides. And then final thing, in some tests, they would also look at apolipoproteins, or they would look at the ratios of these. So the key thing to remember here is that as we were discussing about fats, that polyunsaturated or monounsaturated fats are better compared to the saturated fats, which are not good and should be avoided. If similarly in the lipid profile, cholesterol, we know that small amount of cholesterol is required, because that cholesterol basically can be broken down as needed by the body into sugars, which we need for our essential daily function. But again, if once that cholesterol level goes beyond the normal limit, then that cholesterol is harmful. So the risk is that that cholesterol is now at risk of being deposited into the blood vessels. Then the low-density lipoprotein, or LDL, this is usually, in colloquial terms, it's called bad cholesterol. So this is when people say that my bad cholesterol is up. That usually means that this means LDL. So the low-density lipoprotein, or LDL, this is like cholesterol, so again, higher levels are bad for you, and within normal range, it's acceptable. Triglycerides is another form of fats which we're measuring, and again, higher levels are bad, lower levels are okay. So this is in. So these three are in contrast to high-density lipoproteins, or HDL, where the higher the HDL, the better it is. And the lower the HDL, the worse it is. So here we are looking for higher levels. And again, not too high, because there is a lot of discussion around what is the right level for them. But this is when we are looking at the lipid profile, we need to interpret. So what we use when we are looking at cardiovascular or heart disease is the ratio between LDL and cholesterol. So if that ratio is high, generally the current NHS guidance is that that ratio should be not be over 5. But in the context of heart disease, that might be even 4. So that ratio becomes important because this is measuring the two sort of bad types of fats. And we want to make sure that they are within the normal range. So when what we need to remember here is that this is still one marker. So what sometimes what happens is that there is over-reliance on these tests. For example, someone whose lifestyle is pretty poor, they're eating all sorts of fats, all sorts of meats, you know, very little of this Mediterranean diet portions.
No exercise.
No exercise, exactly, and no fasting, perhaps. And then they get their test done, and their cholesterol is in within normal limit, or LDL is within normal limit, and they are, you know, satisfied, or we are okay. What we need to remember is that this is only measuring, as I mentioned, fat levels in our blood, and we are extrapolating that of what's actually happening in the body. So what we have recently found is that there is also this concept of visceral fat. So one fat which is obvious, so which goes around our abdomens, which goes around the hips, so that is one form of fat, which is quite obvious. But then there is also fat which is encapsulating our vital organs. So the fat around our intestines, fat around our heart, our kidneys. So that is the visceral fat. So lately there has been a lot of interest that visceral fat is actually directly related to poor health. So even though from outside, if someone doesn't carry a lot of fat, it doesn't necessarily mean that inside the visceral fat content is low. So what it goes back to is that eating in moderation, eating ideally according to the sunnah of our beloved Prophet and fasting, that is the best way to keep that fat content in moderation and to avoid the deposition of fat in the wrong areas. So another area I think which
Darshan, before you move ahead, one question comes in mind, hopefully the viewers of Madhani Channel are watching. Because we've talked about too much technical terms of the lipid profiles and their terms HDL and LDL. Now, one common understanding is there that our blood gets too dense or less dense. You see, sometimes we say the blood is too thin and it is too thick. So is there something related to these old tests?
So again, a good question. So again, I think there is a misconception here. So fats don't make our blood thick or thin. So technically speaking, when we talk about blood being thick and thin, that is dependent on coagulation factors. So coagulation means blood clotting. So when we say the blood is potentially thick, that is usually in the context of, for example, someone has had a heart attack or angina. We do their blood tests and we find that there is potentially could be a problem with one of their clotting factors. That's one. Second is in the context of stroke, especially one of the conditions we mentioned last time was atrial fibrillation. In that context, we know that there is a risk of developing a blood clot, which can cause stroke, or if someone has already had a stroke, then that blood is perhaps too thick for them. So we then give them medication, what we call anticoagulants, which will make the blood thinner. So this whole discussion...
The fat doesn't have no impact on this.
Exactly, that's right. So that's the reasons, for example, all heart patients, all patients with peripheral vascular disease who have got issues with blood vessels in their legs, or people with stroke. So they would have aspirin, for example, or there are similar drugs to aspirin. So which basically, they're called blood thinners, but basically they would address one bit of the blood system to try and make the blood less sticky. So again, when we talk about thickness and thinness, actually it is the stickiness of the blood which we're measuring.
What are the effects of fats in on our blood?
So the key thing here is that cholesterol, particularly, or this LDL. So it has a whole range of negative impact on our bodies. So first, for example, if we look at visceral fat, as well as the fat which goes into the wrong places, this fat releases some chemicals in our body which are called adipokines. So this adipokines, these are these, again going back to one of the first programs we did, increases the level of inflammation. So more fat, more bad chemicals, more inflammation, and that more inflammation
causes many diseases.
Many diseases, including thickness of the blood vessels. So the walls of the blood vessels start to get thin.
That means it is somehow or somewhat related indirectly.
Exactly, that's right. So that is one impact through inflammation. The second impact is directly for that cholesterol or that fat to start getting deposited in the blood vessels. So one of the, I guess, the stark facts which people may not know, that even for a five-year-old child, we know that the fats has started to deposit in the aorta, which is the biggest blood vessel which comes from the heart and supplies our body. So in the abdominal aorta, the studies have shown that fat is already being deposited there at the age of five. So there is naturally, as part of aging, we start to get this fat deposition in the blood vessels. So what that will cause directly is narrowing the lumen of those blood vessels. And the risk is that particularly with cholesterol, that it happens in the form of plaques. So sometimes if you go to a dentist, they would say that you have a plaque on your teeth, which is basically just a coating of residue, food residue maybe, or rusting, sort of trying to explain that. Yeah. The same thing is happening in the inside of the blood vessels. So that is making a plaque. And what can happen is that the cholesterol particularly can make somehow, depending on how it is deposited, it can make an unstable plaque. So it is not very firmly attached to the blood vessel, but it is actually very loosely attached. And the risk is that it dislodges, goes further down into the circulation, and then can block off one of the blood vessels. If it happens in the brain, it can cause stroke. If it happens in the heart, it can cause heart attack. Another thing which can happen is that it can shower little pieces off that plaque made mainly of cholesterol, which we call cholesterol emboli. So it basically is dislodges from the main plaque and then can be showered anywhere in the body and then can potentially have an impact on the organs in the body as well. So it has a direct, the fats are directly causing harm to the body, particularly the saturated fats. And then it is causing indirectly by increasing the levels of bad chemicals and the inflammation related to that. And the third thing which it does is that it is the lack of mobility. So we know that, again, generally heavier people, they would find it more difficult, especially with obesity, to mobilize. So the less mobile somebody is,
definitely,
then there is
less exercise.
There is less exercise, and then there is an indirect effect there as well. So it's, you know, so it affects in several different ways, but all of them causing harm to ourselves. So one of the ways which NHS recommends and all the doctors recommend is that one should know their BMI, which is the body mass index. So there are ways to measure visceral fat, but they're only in the research arena. So currently it's not available in clinical field. So what we need to do is to be able to somehow get a measure of how fit I am. So obviously there is muscular fitness, there is vascular fitness, but this is an easy thing to do. So this is weight in kilograms divided by, so it is basically called kilogram per meter square. So weight in kilograms divided by our height in square, and that gives a BMI. So this acceptable BMI is between 18 and 25. Anybody can calculate that as long as they know their height. You can convert it from feet and inches into centimeters. So height in centimeter square and weight in kilograms.
For example, a normal weight for a person, of a person who is at a normal height, let's say, for example, 5'10", mm-hmm. that's normal height. So for that, what should be the weight? General understanding.
So I think generally weight between somewhere 65 and 75 kilograms for that person will keep them in the safe BMI range of 18 to 25. Now, obviously, this is only one of the measures, but this is well-studied, well-researched. So that would be the sort of BMI we're looking for. What we need to also remember is that the ethnic differences. So in Asians, generally, we suggest that the BMI should be 23 or less. So it should be 18 to 23 rather than up to 25 because of the higher risks, especially associated perhaps with our diet as well. So that's sort of weight range for a 5'10 height man. So somewhere between 65 and 75 kilos would probably be acceptable. But it is very easy to calculate. And I would certainly recommend that we ought to do that. And we do know that there have been several studies done, even very brief periods of fasting for like a week, can reduce our cholesterol level by 23%. And LDL levels by 9 to 10%. So we know again that intermittent fasting gives us an opportunity to get our fat content, to get our lipid content down. However, if we, I guess, counteract all of that by eating too much fat at the time of iftar or at the time of suhoor, then we have really, I guess, lost that opportunity to try and optimize the benefits of fasting.
Doctor, the way you've explained that, what are the harmful effects of fats and how can we reduce that, and you've also, mashallah, given us a dietary plan, what to eat, what not to eat, which have got the high levels of fats, and what is the Mediterranean style of diet plan. Mashallah, it's very good and very helpful for the viewers of the main channel. They can benefit that from that. I was just thinking about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Today, the world has become a global village, and world has become very fast, and everything has become so fast that we have involved in fast food also, right? We don't want to waste too much of time to cook and, you see, for a healthy diet, we just go and grab the fast food and eat it. We don't, you see, recognize the harmful effects. And our younger generation, that is too much going towards that. Their tendency is rather higher than the mature ones. And they are eating crap food, if you call that. A fast food in terms of which has got very high levels of fats. What would you recommend to the parents that they should avoid fast food, and for the children and for the youngsters, and especially the harmful effects of the soft drinks at the same time, and this fast life and their effects, what is impacting. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's life, as we earlier discussed, date and water, right? They did not have so much of this luxury lifestyle of food. And alhamdulillah, that is one of the ways, because that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to keep our diet simple. And Aka Ali salatu salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat barley. You see, and very simple food Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat. And the Sahaba kiram, they also followed. And they used to remain intentionally hungry. And they used to fast. And this is what a concept of fasting is. And alhamdulillah, if we fast in Ramadan, if we fast in our normal weekdays, as the sunnah is on Monday or Thursday, if we fast, a recommended days of 3 days in a month, and alhamdulillah, this can keep the level of diet to a moderation level. At the same time, we will consume less harmful fats. And definitely, this is what is desired in this program, so we can highlight the importance of fasting, importance of being hungry, in a sense. It has got so many positive impacts on our spirit, on our soul. When we are hungry, we will not have tendency to do sin. When we will be, hungry, we will feel good for those they are hungry. We will realize that how does it feel like when others are hungry. So we'll be helping the poor, we'll be helping the needy. There are so many other benefits of fasting, because we are talking more to the health related, and you see medical terms and the science of, side of the things, so we are just focusing on that. So having seen of this important area, also, the final comment I would like to take, that simple lifestyle, having less amount of fats and harmful fats in terms, and the fast food culture. That will be your final remarks. What do you say?
Absolutely. So I think fast food culture is really to the detriment of the society, because and as you said, especially with younger. So if you look at levels of obesity globally, you know, we're talking Western world, nearly half of the children are obese and another quarter are overweight. You know, so this isn't really a problem for adults. It is a problem throughout all phases of life. So I think, I mean, a lot of that would come with positive encouragement. We need to get our children, first we need to change the environment at our homes. If we have got cupboards full of chocolates with high sugar cereals, with lots of different biscuits and confectionaries and sweets, and then it's impossible to inculcate that discipline in our child to have the right food. So first it needs to start from home. So we need to change our habits. So what we need to do is to replace all of that with fruits, with vegetables, and, you know, encouraging our children that if they really want to have sweet vegetables, why not start with, for example, sweet corn? It is still much better than eating a bar of chocolate or eating something, you know, of those fast food cultures. So that's one. And then certainly in fruits, so we have got various avocados, for example. They are very good in polyunsaturated fats. There are sort of very good fat examples of sort of the foods and fish, which we mentioned. So that's what I think we need to try and encourage our children to do. So be the role models for them, that we eat that sort of food, and then encourage them to do that. And sometimes a simple reward culture can be very helpful. So, you know, if all day you would eat the right sort of food, then at the end of the day, you can have one small chocolate. I think that, certainly with children, would be a pretty good way to try and encourage them to do that.
MashaAllah. Dear respected viewers of Madanishin, I hope, inshallah, from today's program, you must have benefited, and we have tried to cover what are lipids, what are fats, and what are good and bad fats, and what are their levels, and what are the foods. And alhamdulillah, quite a detailed discussion has happened, and our doctor has given us a beautiful insight and understanding regarding this topic, and we have tried to correlate that with fasting and Ramadan. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, ability, and enable us to fast a complete month of Ramadan. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us ability to observe fast other than Ramadan too. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah, we'll come back with another interesting and remarkable topic. Inshallah, azza wa jal. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat ala al-Nabi. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah bless and keep you safe. Keep you safe.